through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
You were giving me a very terrified look, but it was me. It was making my own mic squeak.
I was moving the microphone stand vigorously when you said a bit of squeaky action.
Squeaky mic gets the duct tape.
There you go.
Nice.
Thanks.
Something like that, eh?
We were just talking.
Zoe Larson. Good night.
We were just talking about the dope aesthetic of the studio and how it's so much better than those godless studios over at NZME or MediaWorks, whatever.
Hey, speaking of the media, what's going on, Tim?
I've got a pretty meaty story. Have I got a bed?
No, because you stole my billy and then the.
Oh, I did too.
That's all right.
True.
We'll just.
Do you know I actually found what song it is that you play all the time? It's called Mermaid, right?
By Alan Hackshaw and Brian Bennett. That is the one.
KPM series.
That's
Spotify
the one.
Offered it up for me the other day. Anyway, just pretend like there's some beautiful, dreamlike music swishing
exactly.
all around us at the moment. Should I put it on? Because I think I could.
Yeah, go
on
for
Spotify.
It. Do it. I mean,
my first story is about Crown Law, which is a little bit dry, to be honest.
So we need
but
some
swishy
bed.
It's very important. Yeah, I think.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about Crown Law. What's going on with them at the moment?
Have I nailed it? Is it on?
It is.
Oh,
Tim, look at that. Multitasking.
Okay, so this story's actually been unfolding for a number of weeks and months. If you don't know what Crown Law is, the Crown Law Office is the legal advice and representation that the government gets. So it's the bunch of lawyers that do the stuff for the government. So it's pretty, you know, pretty highfalutin stuff. They have come after Newsroom, which is an independent journalist outlet, which you might know as
I do
a website.
Know. Mm-hmm.
Regarding their coverage of Oranga Tamariki, and they've slapped them with a $13,000 fine, and potentially there's an open criminal investigation now against one of their journalists, Melanie Reid, for this sort of short documentary video series that they did.
I think everybody probably knows the one now. It was pretty...
Yes,
pretty,
yeah, about the uplifts.
Yeah, pretty phenomenal.
It really was. So their coverage of these so-called reverse uplifts of a child from a family by Oranga Tamariki was pretty harrowing. And they had a video hosted on their website, and then the government got in touch with them through the Solicitor General and was like, yo, absolutely not. This is in breach of the Family Court Act because of some privacy concerns around the children being identified. Newsroom disagreed with those assertions. They thought that they'd done enough to protect the identity, but even despite that, they made edits to the video to further protect the identity of the children involved.
Right, okay.
While that was happening, Crown Law apparently also went to the High Court while they were still in negotiations with Newsroom to get an injunction.
Crikey.
Which was successful. So the High Court forced them to remove the video from the website, and have also given them this huge $13,000 fine, and the criminal investigation is ongoing for this breach of the act. Now, it's super rare for a prosecution to be aimed at a specific journalist rather than...
Yeah, different, like than an organisation. Yeah.
So it's... there's a lot of aspects to this, and it is quite complicated. I'm trying to like boil it down to sort of its simplest parts, but like one of the crazy things about this is the video and the journalism that they created was so compelling that it did create changes at that government department.
Totally.
Kelvin Davis saw it and asked for a big please explain to his own department off the back of this coming out, and it did create operational change within the organization itself. But despite this, they're still pursuing this legal action against Newsroom, which is crazy.
I've seen a lot of journalists talking online about this sort of like concerns around what this could mean going forward. Is this like setting a precedent maybe for how, you know, the law, the government and journalism interact? What are your thoughts on that one as a kind of like thing? Should we be worried about it? Is this an anomaly? What's going on here?
The thing about it is the government and Crown Law in particular have such a lot of power on their side of the seesaw, if you want, that they have to be incredibly careful, and they are, generally speaking, about not just the actions that they take and what effect that will have on journalism at large, but also the perceived actions that they're taking. So this can have a real chilling effect. And actually, I am far less capable of describing this than one of the best reporters in the country who deals with a lot of justice issues and family court issues, Kirsty Johnson. So I'm going to pause this beautiful music for a second, and I've actually got a little clip from Kirsty talking on RNZ about it, if we want to juice some volume.
Whenever I contact victims of domestic abuse who've been through the family court, they always want to tell their story, but they're really scared about this section 11B, which is a part of the law that says vulnerable parties can't be identified. And normally that's because they've been given incorrect information, maybe that it's illegal to share their judgment or that they could be fined. So they're already scared, kind of by lawyers or, you know, other people that they've talked to. But then if they go online and research it, they see what's happening to Newsroom. And so their fears are kind of legitimate. It just makes them more afraid. And it's terrible because, as we found out with Mrs. P's case, these stories really need to be told, but the state is actively taking action to suppress them.
So
that is a journalist's take. That's Kirsty Johnson, did you say?
Yes, that's right, appearing on Media Watch on RNZ. So it kind of, Kirsty does such a good job of highlighting the stakes and the relevancy of what's happening here for journalism at large, and also just sufferers of survivors of people who are dealing with the Family Court Act, which generally are at the other end of abuse and that sort of thing as well. So there's real victims here, real people who are being affected. So, I mean, there's two sides to every story, but from everything I've read, this really seems pretty terrible, the government's actions that they're taking against the Newsroom.
I mean, it is interesting to be going after, as you say, a specific journalist as well is quite unusual. I can't really think of another instance off the top of my head which would reflect that, but
very, very rare.
So a bit of a watch this space on this one, is it?
Yeah, it would be a really interesting one to see how this criminal investigation all pans out in the police investigation of Newsroom.
So what else is going on in the big bad media world at the moment?
One other thing I wanted to mention, which was news that broke earlier this week, that AT&T and Discovering might be merging to create this huge streaming behemoth, which, you know, there's a few of these big sharks in the ecosystem at the moment. But this is relevant for us because Discovery just bought Three, our major independent free-to-air TV operation in New Zealand. So you might know AT&T from being a huge telecommunications industry from America. They consistently top the charts at being the most hated company in America. They've got a really interesting mix of terrible customer service, like really predatory business practices. They break the law constantly in a number of ways, more recently for illegal revenue reporting, which they got caught out by the SEC for. But they're
that doesn't sound very chill.
Well, they kind of all do it to an extent, but AT&T is truly a shocking company with a crazy history. If this merger happens, it's got some very interesting potential outcomes for our country. I was reading some analysis by Duncan Grieve from The Spin-Off, who sort of thought about all the different angles, and I mean, it's fair to say at the moment we don't know how it's going to shake out. We actually don't know for sure if it's going to happen, but it seems like it probably will. There's a number of brands that will get swallowed up into this one entity, including HBO, CNN, Discovery, and Warner Brothers.
Whoa.
That's going to have some implications for Sky TV, starting off because things like HBO, they've got special channels where things come out, you know, day of from America on HBO. Mm. Game of Thrones was like a huge thing for Sky. So they might be locked out of that content once their current content contracts are over.
It's just not been good for Sky for a while, has it? They've not been having a great run of things.
They've been doing some interesting moves recently, though. So don't count them out yet. But their share price would suggest that things aren't looking great. But it's also got some interesting implications for locally made TV. So Warner Brothers have got a local office here. They make a ton of reality programming in New Zealand. The Bachelor, Drag Race Down Under, The Great Kiwi Bake Off. Now, as I say, there's a couple of ways this could go. You could look at one way where this big behemoth has operations in New Zealand, and then we get an opportunity to showcase some of the New Zealand shows up into the world, and they get bought in different markets. Or they could just decide that this tiny TV station in the bottom of the world in New Zealand isn't really worth keeping open, and they have a skeleton crew here who are just here to sell ads and try and soak up a bit of funding revenue.
Crikey.
So,
that's two very different pictures you paint there.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. We just don't know what's going to happen. So shout out to Duncan Grieve for you know, knowing all of this stuff and doing the analysis. But as he rightly points out as well, it really puts the TVNZ-RNZ merger into perspective. Like, this vertical integration of media is what's happening globally.
Totally.
And unfortunately, even our, you know, government-owned assets need to start thinking in this way as well, just to stay alive and compete.
It's really interesting. Tim, it's also interesting, I think, that you might have some more comedy to talk about this week.
You're a bloody gem, Rach. We've got our podcast, The Worst Idea of All Time.
I've been this doing is you and Guy Montgomery,
years.
Eh?
Me and Guy Montgomery. We've been doing it for years and years and years, and we're going to find out which one of us is the best host of all time.
Oh, wow. There's a lot riding on that one there.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got Jackie Van Beek, Madeline Sami, Eli Mathieson, and Reese Mathieson as well, who will be either guests or MCs on the show. And we're, for the first time ever in the New Zealand Comedy Festival, we're streaming it online so you can watch.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of behind the scenes technical booyah going on to get that up. But if you want to check it out, it's going to be a super fun show on Thursday night. You can watch it on your laptop or you can come to Q Theatre and watch it. Just go to worstideaofalltime.com.
Thank you very much, Tim. See you next week.
Bye.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM. This